Good morning. This is Brian Cambria with news for the Western Slope. Monday, October 7th, 2013. The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports jury summonses began arriving in Mesa County mailboxes last week for the case of Heather Jensen, a Palisade mother accused, among other charges, with criminally negligent homicide in the deaths of her two sons. According to the Sentinel, around 400 summonses were sent out to potential jurors, a significant number for a Mesa County trial. In perspective, around 500 summonses were mailed for the high-profile 2004 murder trial of Michael Blagg. Meanwhile, attorneys for Jensen have filed a change-of-venue motion asking to move the trial out of the county, saying Jensen might not receive a fair trial in the wake of 8 months of pretrial publicity, which public defender Thea Reif characterizes as, quote, massive, pervasive, and prejudicial. District Judge Valerie Robeson has yet to rule on that motion. Law enforcement officers found Jensen's sons unresponsive near her vehicle after she called 911 from Powderhorn Ski Area in November of last year. Over 1,000 people gathered on Saturday to remember five members of a Buena Vista family killed in a massive rock slide in the San Isabel National Forest last week. As the Denver Post reports, Dwayne and Donna Johnson were killed along with their 18-year-old daughter, Kiowa Rain, and the Johnsons' nephews, Bagan Walker and Paris Walkup. The memorial service was held at the Buena Vista High School Auditorium. 13-year-old Gracie Johnson survived the incident and attended Saturday's memorial. Dwayne and Donna were coaches at Buena Vista High Schools, and the entire family was well known in the town and active in community events. Officials with Mesa Verde National Park in southwestern Colorado are shifting course on a plan to manage around 150 wild horses in the park and on its borders. According to the Denver Post, the so-called trespass livestock have damaged archaeological sites and fences meant to keep them out. Paul Morey, the park's wildlife program manager, said even though some visitors see the horses as attractions, they aren't classified as wildlife, and managing them conflicts with the park's primary mission of preserving archaeological sites. The American Wild Horse Preservation Campaign has pushed for protecting the horses. Treating them as an attraction would be one way to accomplish that. But park officials say they simply don't have the money or manpower to manage the horses in that way. Mesa Verde has made efforts to strengthen fences to control the horses, but they still manage to get into the park and damage water lines and ice machines in their search for water. Morey says though the park won't develop a formal management plan for the animals, it will continue to strengthen boundary fences. Officials hope if the horses can't get access to water, they won't continue to come into the park and won't reproduce as rapidly. Communities across the state are taking different approaches to the sale of recreational marijuana, which begins in January. Some are taking a wait-and-see approach, while others have banned retail stores altogether. But as Benta Berkland reports, most resort towns support pot legalization and say they don't see it hurting the state's multi-billion dollar tourism business.
Last November, Colorado voters passed Amendment 64 by a healthy margin. But in resort towns such as Telluride, nearly 80% of voters said yes.
It's a pretty young community. The demographics changed recently. We went from an average age of 30 to 34, so it looks at things differently.
Stu Fraser is the mayor of Telluride, which is known for its numerous mountain festivals and laid-back vibe. And when it comes to recreational marijuana, Fraser says Telluride is going farther than most. Plans are already in the works for three retail stores in the main business district. And he says there's nothing preventing a shop from eventually opening up right on Main Street.
We're not trying to create a tourism flow into the community to build our sales tax revenue off of recreational marijuana. That's not the goal here at all. What we attempt to do is make it right for the folks that live here. Then that ends up really making it right for the people that visit here.
Other mountain towns, including Aspen, Breckenridge, Crested Butte, and Steamboat Springs, are also allowing retail stores, but most have ordinances banning them in certain parts of town and won't allow grow operations. It's a different story altogether in Vail. which has a moratorium on retail marijuana stores. The town's also banned medical marijuana dispensaries. Andy Daly is the mayor.
The issue that I've heard over and over again is just people questioning bringing their families to an area or resort where marijuana is easily available.
Daly says he hasn't made up his mind on whether to support retail stores. Voters in the town back it, but at least one resident is skeptical.
This town is driven on a high-class clientele that come out here with their families for a family vacation and a family experience.
Daniel Schwartz is a server at the Red Lion Bar and Restaurant near the base of the mountain. He supported the amendment, but doesn't think Vail needs recreational pot.
And I don't think they're going to be using recreational marijuana in the first place. I think we will get the occasional spring breakers that'll be looking for it, and we get them now.
People are going to be able to buy it somewhere.
Vail Town Council member Margaret Rogers thinks Vail would benefit from marijuana stores.
We might as well generate the tax revenue for it in the town of Vail rather than having people go to Breckenridge or someplace else that's going to allow it.
Since tourism is one of the state's biggest industries, to the tune of $17 billion last year, officials plan to collect data on whether marijuana impacts people's travel decisions. But it won't be promoted as a reason to come to the state, says Tourism Director Al White.
Marijuana is a personal decision, I guess, and it's not something that my office is going to be marketing to. We're going to market to all of the scenic beauty and glorious vistas, recreational opportunities.
Vail City Council member Margaret Rogers says marijuana is already so pervasive in society, she doesn't think the amendment will change much. And she says the resorts will be driven by the same thing they always are.
If we have snow, people will come. If we don't have snow, they'll go someplace where there is snow.
The first retail stores are scheduled to open in January. Meanwhile, Colorado voters will decide this fall on an increased sales and excise tax to pay for enforcement of the drug. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
Capitol coverage is funded by the Gill Foundation's Gay and Lesbian Fund for Colorado, a proud supporter of local organizations like the Colorado Department of Education and its programs to prepare and inspire the next generation of science, technology, engineering, and math teachers.
San Miguel County commissioners have begun campaigning for Energy Fund Ballot Measure 1A, a ballot question that will ask voters to reinstate a 1% residential tax on utilities. According to the Telluride Daily Planet, that money would be used to fund greenhouse gas reduction programs in the county. Measure 1A would amend a sales and use tax exemption on electricity and natural gas sales that dates to 1987. The county would then collect 1 cent on every taxable dollar spent on utilities. As the Daily Planet reports, the county expects the measure would raise between $150,000 and $170,000 in the first year, with that money going straight to programs to reduce greenhouse gases. Commissioner Joan May indicated she feels citizens had been asking for such a measure and says the reinstated tax would be in the public's best interest since it helps the county lower its power use. The sustainability organization Eco Action Partners claims most of the county's greenhouse emissions come from residential and commercial buildings. The group feels the new tax revenue could help with energy audits and retrofitting of buildings to make them more efficient. The Daily Planet says commissioners have been reluctant to include specifics in the ballot language since the county's energy needs are likely to change decades into the future. This concludes today's newscast. For KVNF News, this is Brian Cambria.